Inauguration sessions. For those who've not been here before, my name is Rodney Jackson. I've been given the privilege of doing this session every year since 2006, so I thank you if you are returning. I appreciate you coming back. If it's your first time, I appreciate you being here. I've been at Microsoft for about 15 years, supporting SMS 1220. Yeah, I did support 2.0, and I'm still alive. and so those were some fun times. And that being said, I want to ask a few questions before I begin because it helps me. How many people have already deployed 2012? Great, great. That's only half. That's about a third of the room. How many have deployed SP1 for 2012? Okay, so let me set your expectations. This session is focused on migration and SP1 stuff. There may be a few things for you in here, but the description of the session is focused on those things. I did see one of my colleagues from Microsoft, very sharp guy, Mike Wiles, in the audience. Appreciate him being here. And so I just want to let you know that, just to kind of give you some insight to some of the things that we're talking about. The other thing is, this is an aggressive pace. I only have 75 minutes. So it's impossible to cover every possible migration blocker or case study. So I took a sample based on some of the things I saw internally that were popping up. And so I do leverage my colleagues. I don't claim to know it all. I am actually, my role is I'm a PFE engineer. I'm a dedicated or designated because I have 3 or 4 or 5 accounts. And basically what that means is I operate in the advisory role. So I like to look at it like this. I'm your family physician. And when you have an issue, a break-fix issue, you call support, and you get the emergency room. And so we all work together, and that's kind of what our role is. That being said, I already said what the assumptions are. I assume you will look at some other stuff. There are some things that were missing from this session, and I am going to go back and just double-check to make sure I have the right one. We will see. Okay, let's begin. So the objective here, we're going to talk about that, Service Pack 1 notes from the field. And let me just do one thing here just to make sure this is the right one. This is not the right one. As I said, we had some technical difficulty. So bear with me, and I will bring up the right session that we need for this. You just have to keep rolling. One thing, that was at 12:28, and this came, it's funny how they changed the time on that. Somehow, I won't take too long here, I did update this. That says 12:28 p.m. Okay, here we go. That's better. Thanks for your patience during that mishap. All right, so let's begin. I want to talk about a few items, objectives, Service Pack 1 notes from the field, cumulative update notes. These are just categories, and migration experience and case studies. As I said before, the objective of this session, if you haven't deployed 2012 yet, or if you haven't deployed SP1 or cumulative update 1, is kind of give you some information to avoid some gotchas. So Service Pack 1 notes from the field. There are about 100 slides in here, so I'm not going to PowerPoint you to death, but what I try to do is put a lot of information in there so you can take the slides with you later and read them. I did hide a few slides, and the first slide I hid was an SP1 link that gives you all the information about SP1, where to go to find stuff, and et cetera. So here's some notes that we use in the field when we're talking with customers about what you should do to prepare for SP1. If you don't have Windows Server 2012, then you need to install Windows Microsoft Framework 3.0 because it provides PowerPoint PowerShell support for 3.0. You got to uninstall the WakeKit, blah, blah, blah. Install ADK, Application Development Kit. And then also, when you do install that, here are the 3 items that you need to select. This, I'm kind of running through this. That's important, the deployment tools. And this is primarily because we are SP1, we're using WinPE 4.0, which is based on Windows 2008. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. If you've been on the blogs, you know that there's been some challenges with legacy machines. Let me get to that, but I'm just going to put that highlight in here now. You need to install this patch. If you don't install this patch prior to upgrading to SP1, you may have some issues. You may have some issues. So, and then the other thing prior to SP1, if you have custom ports, when you apply the service pack, it may reset those custom ports. So you want to make sure you do that. And then this is huge. How many times have you heard, have you ever heard from Microsoft that if you got McAfee running, you shouldn't be scanning your directories? Ever heard that? Then why do we keep getting so many calls on it? I'm just asking. I'm not judging, just asking the question. So that, believe it or not, was a call generator. And if you have McAfee scanning the directory where your boot images are, when you migrate, you will have issues. So make sure you take care of that. And then you will get some prerequisite checker warnings if you have something like a remote site system and a DMZ or something. And so, you know, some of that stuff you can ignore. You can read the notes. I'm not going to sit here and read it to you. And then cumulative update one, again, I'm trying to go through this really fast. This is really important section here. So cumulative update one assumes you have SP1, right? Cumulative update one assumes you have SP1. Everyone probably knows by now that we've changed our approach to hotfixes. Our primary objective is to get as many hotfixes, and I know that probably irritates some people because I know you see all these emails. Trust me, I understand. You have to get, we're trying to put bundle everything into one now. And I have a vision that one day you just push a button and walk away. Okay, it's just a vision. All right, don't look at me like that. And so somebody said, that's not job security. All right, so again, the other thing you need to be aware of, there is a new PowerShell commandlet that you can, for adding distribution points, but you have to install the console package for that. And so let me show you what that looks like. And also reference Neil Peterson, who's one of my colleagues. He has some great blogs. I mean, I call him Mr. Blogger. He probably blogs like pages and pages of information. And I don't know how he does it, but he just had a baby, so that probably is going to stop. So probably won't see him as frequent. And here we go. So when you do install cumulative update package, it will give you these options. And here's something you need to know. Even though you install the server package on the server, you still have to install the admin console on the server, or you will have issues, okay? So just understand that, and then there are some client fixes, and here's what it looked like. So there's really three types of packages that are created, even though there's four packages there. One is for x86, and the other one is x64. So basically, you have console update, the server update, and then you have 64-bit and 86-bit clients updates. You have to deploy those. So, again, I'm not getting a lot of detail, just running through that. I'm trying to be conscious of my time here. And the other thing, so just want to take one more note about this. I'm assuming everybody has a lab here and everybody tests this, right? Yes. Shake your head. Yes. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. All right, so migration experiences. How many people migrated, used the migration tool already? Did you have any issues? Raise your hand. Wow. Okay, two. That's pretty cool. And so what I want to talk about, first of all, is the migration components, preparing for migration, experiences during migration. This is when you're in the process of migrating, and then some of the experiences you will see after migration. As far as components, that's pretty straightforward, and I'll kind of show you what that is in a minute, but I want to talk about prepare for migration. Some of this stuff I've talked about before, but I got to talk about it again because we're dealing with that topic. And so as you prepare for migration, there's all that list of SP1, CMU, all that stuff I gave you is very relevant, but the most important stuff is pretty basic. I'm not going to sit here and insult you, but you know, you got to have the right hardware, you got to have the right sizing, you got to make sure the right ports are open, you got to have the right permissions. All these things we know, but yet we still generate a lot of calls on it. And so let's take a quick look at migration components. The migration component is SMS Migration Manager thread of the SMS Executive. And basically, that sits idle for most of the time. There's nothing going on until you do something. And then it jumps up, and then it goes to work. And then there's the migration log, which is your best friend doing migration. And in SP1, we've added additional logging. And so we've added a lot of logging. Then the migration box is important, because if you see sync files in there, you got problems. If that directory is not empty, you have issues. Okay, so you want to make sure that that directory is empty. And then database tables and views. And my goal was to try to take a look at some of that, just because we were having issues with the machine. So I may try to escape here, but just want to show you this. The migration table, what you really want to take note of here, if you can see this, is the MIG job entity table. And the reason that one's important, there's a view that corresponds with that. You can actually customize your own view. When we create a migration, when we create that connection between the 2007 site and the 2012 site, and the same thing applies for an SP1, we support migrating from SP1 to SP1. I'll talk about that briefly too. But so when we do that, you can actually go to that table, run a query, and that query you can say, give me a query of all the things that I can migrate. You know how hard it is sometimes when you're trying to figure out what you need to migrate? Well, you can actually do that with that table and that view. And so here's the views, I just got off the plane late yesterday, so I'm still adjusting. MIG job entity is the one that I was really talking about. So these are very helpful. You can look at the collections that you can migrate. And so here's what the query would look like. Notice I run this on my 2012 site, and I run this against my 2007 site. And when I run it, you can see below, I get, okay, oh, I can transfer these collections, but if I could expand it, you would actually see even more stuff that I could expand. So is that clear? Yes? No? Okay, great. All right, I'm going to keep moving on because, like I said, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Again, I'm not going to spend much time. I hid the prepare slides. Well, no, I didn't. I forgot. They were supposed to hide it. So here we go. Hardware configuration manager, SQL Server, data gathering requirements, software update requirements. So a lot of the stuff we know. The biggest thing here is disk I/O performance. I bought a SSD drive for my laptop so I could run my virtual machines off of my laptop, and that thing is smoking. I mean, it's flying. I got a buddy at work who purchased, he paid $1,200 for a controller for his home lab. And so that's a lot of dough. He makes a little bit more than I do, apparently. And so, but you could tell the performance. And so tell him that Microsoft said this. But if you don't invest in this I/O, you're going to have a lot of performance issues. And we have all the information out there. I don't need to sit here and beat you guys up with that. You know this. Available memory, CPU. I'm going to get to the case stuff, but I got to do this stuff first, so bear with me. And then this is stuff we already know, 50 to 80%. Of SQL, you got to give SQL a number. If you don't give SQL a number, it will take everything. It's like, I'm going to use my daughters for example. It's like me giving them my wallet and saying, you go to the mall and buy whatever you want to buy. Is that a bad idea? Yes. Well, if you don't give SQL a limit, it's a bad idea. It will use everything. That's all you need to know off that slide. And then here's the section where you do it. Everybody knows this. And then this part right here, the reason I want to show this slide, this is misleading in my opinion. Okay? This is misleading because if you read this, it would make you believe that the only permissions you need are source or read permissions and read and execute permissions when you're doing migration. I can tell you that is not the case. That's only for setting up your source connection. But the reality is, and you will see in a minute, we talk about it. That's not true. The other thing is these ports are required. If you have custom ports, as long as the port's open, that will work as well. And then the other thing that's really important is that I got a strong opinion about this. If you currently have software updates, and you're using it, I'm assuming you are, and you want to migrate that stuff over, your catalog has to match. But it really doesn't take that long to set up the WSUS server in a SUP and resync everything, right? So you really have to weigh the cost if that is beneficial to you. And I've worked with a lot of customers on this, and we talk about it, and the amount of work you're trying to move stuff over. Because what happens, there's an issue that I didn't put in here because there's too many issues to talk about, is deployment issues. So if you migrate a deployment and all the dependencies don't migrate, then when you deploy that deployment, it's going to fail. So just keep that in mind. All right, so experiences doing migration. I already said permissions, objects, yes, no, task sequence, OSD, drivers, and notes. So let's get out of here. Oops, got to come over here. Let's get out of here and just see if I can go to my lab here. So this is my 2012 site. By the way, by default, under reports, we have a few reports, too, that are here. I created this migration view folder because I was going to create a custom report. But we already have some jobs here. I'll talk about that later if time permits. So go to administration here. So I had a job earlier that was successful. And let's see. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to change this account. I already have an account set up here. I'm using an existing account. I'm going to call this my source account site. And I'm going to use the default. It says I need read. The other one says I need execute, right? So then I'm going to click this. I don't really want to, I'm enable a distribution point sharing. I'm going to hurry up and do this. So I expect this to fail. Watch, it might succeed now, but I'm expecting for it to fail. And so while that's running, I want you to tell me what permissions that I'm supposed to have, because the reality is, there it is. So it tells me that failed to query the data on the search site, ensure the proper credentials are added to the SMS admins group. So the assumption there is I'm not a member of the SMS admins group, right? Wouldn't you think that? Okay, let's take a look. You guys are pretty smart. So, you know, I'm fortunate to be here, and all the people in this room, we're going to figure this out, because you got all these smart people in the room. You should be able to figure these things out. So let's see here. SMS admins. Oh, it's not in that account. Okay, let's add it. Let's see. Let's add source site. Oh, I forgot this. I can't do it because the way they got this laptop extended. I can't even look for it. I can't type. That's great. That's another issue. That's the first issue. Make sure your keyboard works. All right, so that's one issue. So I can tell you I know that that's an issue. The other issue, which I did come prepared for this, because I kind of expect things to not work sometimes, as you will see. Notice that my screenshot kind of shows you the same thing, doesn't it? Because I was expecting something to go wrong. So that's not a good thing. You're supposed to expect good things. Well, I've done this before, so I expect it. The other thing I was going to show you, after I added that account to the SMS admin group, it would have failed again. And I would have got this error message. Can anyone tell me what's going on here? Remember, I just gave it the permissions that I was told I was supposed to have, but it failed anyway. Can anyone tell me? I like to talk back. I like to talk to the crowd. So, I'm not a DJ. I just like talking to. What's that? What kind? SQL. What kind of SQL permission issue? Execute. So it's not this. I did this on purpose. It's sysadmins. It wasn't a member of the sysadmins, or as you say, execute. In this case, if you give it, sometimes you can't give it sysadmins permissions, but that was it. So don't be fooled by that. Now, this is part of the presentation where I need some feedback from you, because I need to know, because this is really going to change the rest of this. What objects do you want to transfer? What's the most important objects you have right now in your 2007 site that you need to move over to? You don't want to lose that data. What is it? Collections? Packages? Boundaries? Reports? All right, so you can't transfer reports, not with the wizard, but there's another way you can do that. All right, cool. So what I often tell people, weigh the cost of the amount of work you got to do versus creating all this stuff over. Because 2012 makes it really fat. It makes it really easy to recreate a lot of this. So I'm not telling you to lose all your data. That's not what I said. I said weigh the costs. Okay? Weigh the costs. So here we go. Let's start with this. Notes from the field with OSD. If you go to SP1, we no longer support WinPE3.0 because in SP1, we get rid of the weight kit and we installed ADK, and now it's based on WinPE4.0. So if you have legacy machines that are not ACPI compliant, then we can't use this boot image to deploy to those machines. It will not work. Pixie will fail. So what do you do with those machines? You either stay on RTM until you can get your legacy machines up to speed, you know, or you get rid of all your legacy machines in your environment, or you sneaker tech it. Anybody remember the sneaker tech days? We don't want to go back to that. Or you can use MDT with the weight for machines that are not ACPI compliant. As the example, VMware 4.1 and earlier, there were some issues. So if you have VMware 4.1, get to the latest version as soon as you can. Otherwise, you will have issues with that. Here's something else that changed. I just threw this in there because I had a customer that had this issue recently. In the past, the WIM was set, drive letter, you just let the WIM decide where you set that variable and it would fail. Now we have this new variable in SP1 that I recommend you use. And the way you do that, you just, first of all, you set the value, and then you go in and you do what you did previously. And the issue they were having is it was trying to install the D drive. There was no D drive because in SP1, that old way of doing it doesn't work. So if you're doing it the old way, it's going to give you some negatives. You're going to be looking in your SMS task sequence log saying, "Where there's no drive D. I didn't put drive D in. That's because we changed that functionality." And that was a call generator. So make sure that you're aware of that. And then you, in the variable. So task sequence notes from the field. All tasks must migrate during the migration or it will fail, duh. If you had one of the tricks you can use from as you're doing this is create duplicates of your tasks. You know, so you can just create a duplicate and test that or have a backup of it. And then verify all your packages and objects with the task can be migrated. Because if there's a dependency of that task sequence, so if you got task sequences that are 50 lines long and any of those things fail, then the whole task sequence fails. If somebody just took a sigh, or, right? I'm with you on that. Trust me. I've been there. No, I'm telling you, I am. And so remove any objects from task sequence that cannot be migrated. And then MDT. Whew. So I've heard in the community that some people got this to work, but I'm going to tell you with SP1, it does not. You cannot migrate you cannot migrate MDT tasks with SP1. I got burned on it because I thought you could, but you can't. 2010 you couldn't. The functionality hadn't changed. So you have to recreate those. You can't do it. You can't just say no. Cannot do it. Matter of fact, let me show you if I can. Since my keyboard, since I can't type, maybe I can click. Look, I can click. That's cool. And what's cool about that, I should have a report. So I'm going to click on this report and probably have to come back just because this is the way it works. It's actually doing something, believe it or not. So we'll come back to it. It is working in the background. And so the other thing is, drivers do not migrate if you don't have permissions on the source folder. So you got to have full control on source folders or you will have issues. You will have issues. You will have challenges. That won't happen. It will not happen. And then if you use the trick of pointing a driver package to a source file in a share in 2007, that will not migrate. So only drivers that have been imported. So if you created a share in 2007 and that will not migrate. So make sure that you import your drivers in order for those to migrate. So if you used that trick before. And then just a few notes on, first I want to stop. Everybody get me there? That makes sense? Okay, cool. I don't want you to fall asleep yet, so you with me. Maybe we play some Jay-Z and it'd be all right. Just kidding. And so ensure that 64-bit clients have APV 4.6 and higher before you upgrade to the 2012 client. That is a requirement. And SP1 does support 5.0, APV 5.0, and there are a lot of benefits to that. So if you get a chance to attend some of the APV sessions, I suggest you do. And then you can migrate virtual apps with the Wizard tool. You can do that. But there are a couple things. You cannot migrate. So like if you made some changes, you can't go back and previously migrate the object. So what you have to do is delete it and then migrate it. So that's because of the way virtual apps, how we host those. And so that's just something you need to know. And then this is a big one, branch distribution points. And take a note here. So if you have branch DPs, if you don't uninstall the client, and if the site server machine account is not a local administrator in the group on the BDP, then you may lose your data. You may lose all your data when you migrate. So that is key. Those two things are very important. You got to remove the client, and you also got to make sure you have full permissions to the local administrators group on that box, so all the data will be lost. And a couple things here with shared DPs. I won't spend too much time with that. I kind of want to get on my soapbox here. Migrations, the whole migration tool thing, it's temporary. It's like setting up a tent in your backyard. Anybody ever sleep in a tent in their backyard with your kids? That's temporary. And unless your wife kick you out of the house. So, or your husband. So, but I'm just saying that's temporary. That's not a long-term. So when we create that connection between the two, that's a short-term thing. So that being said, I want to set your expectations that standard DP, this is saying, so once you share a distribution point, meaning that 2012 clients and 2007 clients can access that DP, that's what it means. That means any data that you create in your 2007 site that goes on the shared DP will be converted, and we can access that data. Now, you can't have a DP. You can't create data in the 2012 site and then deploy it to the shared distribution point. You cannot do that. So it's temporary. And so here's some keys. The Y represents what's eligible to upgrade. So when we share the DP and you're done, you're like, okay, I'm ready to upgrade this to a 2012 site distribution point. These are the sites that are eligible. So if it's a standard DP, standalone, that's eligible. If it's collated with other site roles, it's not. If it's collated with a secondary site, it's not. So what do you do with all those secondary sites out there that have, like, for example, server shares? A lot of people have that. So let's talk about that. Here's an example in my lab. What you do is you enable the standard DP on the secondary site. You redistribute the content to that standard DP. And then you remove the server share and remove the duplicate site, and then it becomes eligible. So you got to redistribute that content before you upgrade it. That's key, or you will lose that data. So that's very critical. All right, experiences after upgrade. Custom reports. Someone said that they want custom reports, client migration notes, managing 2012, 2007 clients, cache. Expire setting, I talked about that before, source package. And then there are a couple things here. So couple quick things here. We already know you cannot migrate custom reports. You cannot do that. But you can copy those to your SQL reporting services, and you create make a backup of the reporting database. You can export the RDL files. There are a lot of different ways to do this. Then you can import the files individually, but that takes so much time. It takes so much work. And then you import everything back in 2012. Or here are a few tools. You may be aware of some of these. One is SSR report downloader that lets you migrate multiple RDL files at one time. And so you could do that, or you could use, like I said, you could copy the manual way, which is not cool. There is another way I didn't put up here because I thought it was kind of ridiculous, where you back up the reporting database, and then you create the, you restore it on the new site. I don't personally recommend that. And then there's another tool. It's not really endorsed by Microsoft, but I've used it because you see the name there. but it's another tool that you could use. Again, this is just tools out in the community that can be useful. Or you could write your own tool. How many people are going to write their own tool? Thank you. That's what I thought. All right. So, like, who has time for that, right? And so let me just check my time, make sure I'm not going over. I got a couple, lot more things to talk about here. Okay. The other thing is the client migration notes. As I said before, 4.6 and higher, you got to have before you migrate the client. Clients will resend their inventory to the new destination site. So that first inventory, it may force a resync because there's nothing there, right? So just let you know that. Compliance data will be resent to the new site. So just understand, you don't have to worry about that. Managing clients that are in the same boundary. How many people are going to have that issue where you have two sites in the same boundaries? That's not too bad. Overlapping site boundaries is not supported. You kind of know that. It's not supported. In 2012, not 2007, we support overlapping boundaries for content because we use boundary groups. But in 2007, when the two are together, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. By the way, if you have a question that I don't cover or an area you don't cover before the session is over, write it down on a piece of paper and put your name and email address on there. And I do my best. I know there's a lot of people in this room. I do my best to respond back to you if there's something that I don't cover. So make sure, I just want to make that note because I do have a lot of stuff here. All right, so what do you do? You can remove the boundaries for the 2007 site, and then you can use this setting for all your advertisements. I mean, again, this is just temporary, right? You could use that option. And so how do you manage the clients, again, doing this? And what do you do for the 2012 site? You can disable automatic client push because you don't really want to. You may have some 2007 clients out there you're not ready to automatically get installed with the 2012 site. So there are a lot of options. You can use software update points and installation and target it via GPOs. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do this. You can phase it in. The 2012 client is pretty smart because it's going to do a site version check, so it's not going to get assigned to a 2007 site. So that won't be an issue. And so these are some of the things that may be covered in other sessions, but I just wanted to talk about that because this is not a migration session, but this is not a session on how to do migration, but just some of the issues that pop up. And then here's one that a lot of people use in 2007. This was the Pixie Cache expire setting. Understand that setting has changed. It does not exist by default. It's in a different location. We know now that the DP and the Pixie server are one site role, and so here's the registry key, just FYI. All right, and then some of those packages, if you have packages, you know about this, most of you know about this, but if you have packages that are located in a different source location and you need to change those packages, you want to do it ahead of time. You want to take care of that ahead of time or do something after. And again, we're going to get to more stuff here, but I just have to cover that. Now, here are the case studies. We're done with migration. Now, here are the case studies. Case studies. All right. SQL Server 2012, and that's supposed to be Server 2012 notes. CM 2012 and SQL 2012. Then there's an issue with cannot read SQL version doing install. Setup not supported. Message pops up. Client unable to register with the MP. How many people in this room plan to go to Windows Server 2012 in the next year? Cool. SQL, I'm assuming, 2012. Awesome. Great. So, and can't create an edit report. Got something in there twice. Software metering rejected. Apps not deployed to some users. MP install fails on Server 2012. And then SUP deployment not downloaded. So those are a few case studies that we're going to talk about here. So let's see here. I have a few more minutes to get that done. So let's talk about this. In 2012, it's not supported for Config Manager. even though you can upgrade from Windows 2008 to Windows Server 2012, we don't support it in Config Manager. The recommended method is to do it like a hardware replacement. So do an install, back up your database, and then restore it. One benefit of Server 2012 is that you can leverage WSUS 4.0. I have a customer. The challenge they have is they're running Windows 2008 with SQL 2012, but because they don't have Server 2012, they can't use WSUS 4.0. So they had to leverage some of the SQL Express databases on those remote boxes. So that was one option if you find yourself in that scenario. Another thing is 2012 and SQL 2012 notes must be on SP1 to support 2012. That's kind of a known. There is better transactional performance, better memory allocation. It is recommended not to use dynamic memory with SQL in virtual machines. That came from a product group resource. We noticed some issues with that with a customer that I had, and so it is recommended not to use that setting. That's just a tidbit. And so you may find when you're installing SQL, you may see something like this. So let's say here's the scenario. You install SQL 2012 SP1, and it fails. You get an error message, fails to read the version. Now, this has not happened for everyone, but this has happened a few times, and I think it's a timing issue. We are investigating this, so I'm not calling it a bug yet. You didn't hear me say that. I said it's a challenge. And so you said, whatever, it's a bug, right? But you may see this, so what do you do? So, you know, if you see this registry key, this is for 2012 SQL SP1. You can, again, you'll see this kind of error message that pop up before you upgrade. This little fun message, you don't really want to see that when you're installing. And so basically in this case, we compare the 2008 SQL version or valid install of 2012 SP1 that was successful. And the log shows what the registry key is, and just replace those values. So you want to back up your registry. Well, we've been saying that forever, right? So back your registry up. Once we restored that information, it did work. It did fix it, and that was not an issue. Another issue that popped up was a SQL version not supported message during the installation. This has been reported. I have not been able to reproduce this yet, but I know it's been reported enough for me to talk about it. And so really, I don't think it's an issue. I think it's a misunderstanding. Here is it. What happens during the installation of SQL RTM, Windows Update, I believe, tries to pull down this SP1 update. It's not Service Pack 1. It's a Service Pack 1 update that prepares it for SP1. So it tries to pull this down if you're not using the Slimstream version. And so you get this GDR setup update, and it's for Windows installer. It's a Windows installer update. So you get this, and you think, oh, I'm fine. Now I got SP1. I'm good. And then you go install Config Manager, and you get that. And this is the issue. And then you get that. And then, so if you keep moving, so then what you should see, you can tell the size. This is what a full install of SP1 would look like. And so that solves that issue. All right, so another issue that pops up is client unable to register with MP. How many people have ever had that issue before? It's not obvious what the issues always are, right? We always say DNS, right? It's usually DNS, or there's a permissions issue. Customers using HTTPS, and they can't communicate over it. The client binaries, they install successfully. Clients get site assignment. Clients are getting site assignment. They're getting all this stuff. And then, I actually said that wrong. I'm reading off my slide there. That's actually wrong. They don't get site assignment because they can't register with the site. Sorry. And so they're using PKI. We look in IIS logs, and we see the dreaded 404.43, which is a secure connection error message. And so we verified HTTPS is set in the client communication mode, and it is set. So we're trying to figure out what's going on there. So then you go back and look in the IIS logs, and it's communicating over port 80. That's a problem, because if it's set for HTTPS, what port should it be communicating over? Then why is it communicating over port 80? It's confused, right? There's a failure to communicate. So we got to figure this out. So, you know, so you say, did you do this? Did you do that? Well, turns out, after a lengthy conversation, a couple of days, figured out that they didn't use the PKI certificate switch. So you wonder, well, why is that an issue? Well, if you had set up HTTP or HTTPS, it wouldn't have mattered. It would have switched back to that, but they were using PKI. You understand what I'm saying? But if you use just HTTPS and you don't set that switch, the client by default will use port 80. So that's very critical. So root the client, reinstall with that switch, and you can also put it in the properties of your site if you do it that way. And that's another option. All right, anyone ever seen this this message before? I have several times. You go to create a report. Oh, can't edit report. What's up with that? We actually even have it documented. You go online. If you modify the registry, and you should be good. But guess what? You're not good. That's not enough. I'm telling you, there's a little bit more involved here. What you have to do is tap your shoes together 3 times and walk down the hallway. And then come back to your desk, and it worked. Nah, seriously. What you have to do is this. You have to modify the Microsoft Configuration Management EXE config file. We love for you to edit files, don't we? We just love it because, you know, we have so much confidence in our customers. That's why we do it, seriously. Because we know you guys are really smart, and that's why we say, well, we'll just make them edit a file, and that'll fix it. And so, just joking. I know this is recorded. And so, another report thing, and one of my colleagues on Thursday, Saad, will be doing really in-depth on reporting. I think there's like 1,000 people signed up for that, and I was talking to him about it. He's going to get into the XML settings on the client. And so you might want to drink a lot of caffeine before you go to that session because he's going to get really deep, really, really, really bright guy. So he's going to do some more on reporting. The other thing that happens, I went into my site, and I clicked on reports, and it was blank. Ever had that experience? Yes. It's like I keep going back to my wallet because it's a personal connection. It's like me opening my wallet, and there's no money in there because I left my wallet on the counter, and my wife took the money out. That's what happens, because I'm expecting something to be there, and that's what happened to me. So I verified the permissions and went to reporting services, looked at the content. You can go to the SMS SRP folder, and you can actually see the content that's supposed to be in the admin console. Make you scratch your head, like, what's going on here? There's no errors in event log. Verified SQL reporting services are running. So then I went back and looked at the logs again, and I saw in the SQL reporting services log there were some invalid classes. So I said, wait a minute. Anytime we deal with invalid classes, we know what that is, right? WMI. It's always WMI, right? So somehow, once we did that, I found this file, SQL management provider, and recompiled the file, and all was well. All was well. All my reports showed up. Even though they were there, I had to recompile the file. And so anything could have happened. If you had other providers running on the box, right, if you had other WMI providers, that could have caused problems. But this is not a bug. It's just that there's something else that could have been conflicting with that that could have caused you an issue. And then here's another one that came from the field. Anybody using software metering? Cool. Awesome. Software metering people, great. So here's one that came from the field. Software metering gets rejected. And here's kind of a bad start. End value is what it's telling us. And so I had to take some data out of there so you wouldn't see customer data. And so set up SQL reporting services, try to find the SQL store procedure that is causing that issue for the software metering log. And the store procedure, we located that, get ID for software file. And then you can actually go to the inbox folder for software metering, and you can see the bad files put in that directory. And what you find out, they're just XML files. And you can export the XML file to Excel. And once you get it in Excel, it was pretty obvious. You could see which file was causing the problem. So in this case, you could subtract the start and end time from there, and it came up with a negative number. That's bad. And it turned out that the culprit was McAfee in this case. And so once we got that issue resolved, you can see what good entries look like, and the status is pretty much zero. And so and you can do that with any of the files. Doesn't matter what it is. You can do that with those. And so before I get into this, let me see if I can go back to my lab here just to see if my site is up and running. All right, so do you remember me talking about MDT? Here are the tasks I said before, earlier, that you cannot migrate, MDT tasks, and I just named them so we would know. So you could run this report during your migration to try to figure out what's not migrating, what's the issue, what's the challenge. And then you can go into this report. Let's see. Let me get into it. Oh, here we go. There's nothing in that one. Can't get into that machine. Let's see here. Come on, it's going to tell me I'm a liar. Oh, it's not there. I remember. That's, oh, I didn't transfer anything over. I didn't attempt that. That was earlier. I deleted that. Hold on a second. Let's try going back over here. Let's put a, look, no permissions to source WMI. Well, you know, let's try this again with an account that has all the rights. Let's choose administrator. That'll take a minute. Let that run. We'll come back to that. All right, we'll come back to that in a minute after it runs. And so, again, this is just getting back to the software metering. That's just an example. The other thing is apps not deployed to some users. Apps not deployed to some users. How many of you are planning to do user deployments? You guys use User Affinity, so that's quite a bit of people. And so in this case, it never shows up as being available in the Software Center. Just never shows up for some users. Some users it works for, some users it doesn't. And so in troubleshooting, found out that the boundary was in the correct group, because that's the first thing you think of, right? Most of the time, it's a boundary issue. That's the first thing you think of. Logged on to another machine with the same user with the same results. That's weird, right? So now it doesn't matter where that user is. What's up? What gives? Anybody? Any ideas? And reviewed DPIS logs and noticed those 400 error messages. IIS logs are your friend. I know we don't like looking in those logs sometimes, but they're your friend. And saw a bad request header error message and did some research on that, and it was pointing to the AD group membership. And so the issue was that user was in too many groups. It was in too many groups. And so it's hard sometimes to prove that to your Active Directory team. That's why you need that data. So you can go to them and say, hey, this is our issue. And there are several workarounds. You know, decrease the number of AD groups, that's not always possible. Or you can modify the max field length and max request byte registry on the IIS server. That's another workaround for that issue. Okay? All right? Everybody got that? There's some more information about this issue in the link. All this stuff is in here. I have a lot of notes that are not on these slides that are part of the presentation, so you can download. You can get that information. So just making you aware of that. And then Another issue that popped up was MP install fails on Windows 2000 server. So you go to install the client, you go to install the management point on server 2012, and it fails. Cool. Not really cool. But it's cool because we get to see what's, do some more troubleshooting. And it points to this CCM exec global moth file, where we all know that the management point has the client bits, right? So it shouldn't be that big of an issue. And we see it was failed to compile. So remove and reinstall the MP, that didn't work. Disable the YAC, that didn't work. Reboot it, obviously that didn't work. And so went back to the log and really focused in on that class. And that class is part of the CCM exec class on the client, right? So went to CCM class and noticed that it actually had a 2007 client on the box. It had a 2007 client on the box. So the only thing I can think of that that reason that happened, they were doing some testing and they made a mistake, or it was overlapping boundaries and the machine didn't, I mean, I don't know how that could have happened, but it did. And what you can, what you'll notice is, the reason I highlight this is, if you look at a 2007 client, it'll have client version in that namespace. But if you go to a 2012 client, that's not listed in the actual namespace. It doesn't exist, because they're two different clients and we use, they're configured totally different. So if you're not 100% sure, that's kind of a way to cheat to figure that out. So obviously remove the client and reinstall MP, and that worked. So let's go back, let's take a break. Let's go back to this, if you don't mind. And I'm not gonna be that much longer. And let's see what, it succeeded this time, cool. So now I'm going to do a migration job. And let's see. Oh, that one's refresh. Nice. Oh, remember, I can't type. Can't do a migration job, can I? Not cool. Apologize for that. Let's see here. Go back to migration. Yep, can't. I'm not able to do that because I can't type in this keyboard here. So we're going to keep going on. And I'll update what I do with that one if you're interested. If you come meet me from 5:30 to 6:30, I can show you in the Social Central what that looks like. I can actually run through it. You can see it on my machine, so I can type from there. So again, there's another issue. Software update deployment doesn't download. Love those. So review the content transfer location services 2012. The good thing is all the knowledge that you got from 2007, some of that transfers over to 2012. When it comes to this. So some of the features are different, but some of the same knowledge. When you see empty location update for CTM job, generally that will mean that that's a boundary issue. And so turned out that you could either add the DP to the boundary group that the client belongs to, that's a big deal, or in the deployment properties, you could check download and install software from the fallback content source location. That's a workaround for that. So just that's an option that you can use. And then here's that setting, if you want to know where that is. And then for the most part, I'm ending a few moments. It's 11:10. I'm in a few moments early in case some people have some questions. And that is my migration experience and case studies. I'm glad you stayed awake. I want to thank you again for coming today. And if you have any questions, thank you so much.